are listening to Polsinelli Podcasts, a weekly podcast produced by national law firm Polsinelli, providing practical legal guidance for better business decisions.
On July 21, 2015, the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit issued an opinion in the Amgen v. Sandoz biosimilar legal dispute. The Amgen-Sandoz dispute concerned, one, the proper interpretation of the Biologics Price Competition and Innovation Act, the BPCIA, and the prospective launch date of Sandoz biosimilar product, Xarxio. Judge Lori issued the opinion of the court. As a technical matter, the court affirmed the dismissal of Amgen's state law claims of unfair competition and conversion, vacated the judgment on Sandoz's counterclaims, and directed the district court to enter judgment consistent with its interpretation of the BPCIA. Without getting too much into the legal weeds, there are basically three high-level takeaways from the Federal Circuit decision. Takeaway one, the biosimilar applicant doesn't have to provide the manufacturing information under the information sharing requirements of the BPCIA. However, the biosimilar applicant, by doing so, is then opening themselves up to a patent declaratory judgment action. Takeaway two, a biosimilar applicant can only give effective commercial marketing notice after the FDA has licensed the product. The 100 days, 80 days notice cannot be given when the biosimilar applicant submits the application to the FDA. The applicant has to wait until the FDA grants the license. Takeaway three, trying to shoehorn state law claims of conversion or unfair competition like Amgen did in this case based on a failure of Sandoz following the BPCIA is not going to work. Those remedies aren't contemplated by the BPCIA, and the BPCIA is very specific that they only contemplate patent-oriented causes of action. So, digging a little bit deeper, part one of the Federal Circuit decision has to do with the information sharing principles under the BPCIA. Now, while a biosimilar applicant is required to provide its manufacturing process to the RPS, that's the reference product sponsor, under Section 262L, if the applicant fails to do so, then the RPS may bring a declaratory judgment action on any patent that covers the product. So here, even though the language says shall, basically the only consequence of the biosimilar applicant failing to do so is that they open themselves up to a DJ action. So as a consequence of not following the 262L, however, the biosimilar applicant cannot bring a DJ action themselves. The applicant is barred from bringing the declaratory judgment action. To emphasize, the only remedies that are available under the BPCIA are a patent infringement suit, and it provides the RPS, the reference product sponsor, with the ability to bring a DJ action if the biosimilar applicant doesn't follow the rules. Okay. Now, part two of the decision addresses whether a biosimilar applicant may satisfy its obligations to give notice of commercial marketing under 262L8A by doing so before the FDA licenses its product. In this case, Sandoz filed its FDA application in 2014, but didn't actually get licensure until spring of 2015. They actually provided Amgen notice both times because this is such a new law. But the court determined the answer is no. Providing it in 2014 wasn't effective because it was merely an application at that point. Only when Sandoz gave notice on March 6 after the FDA licensed the product was it effective notice. Therefore, here, Sandoz may not market Xarxio before 180 days from March 6, 2015, i.e. they have to wait until September 2, 2015. Part 3 of the court's decision dismissed Amgen's claims of conversion and unfair competition because they were premised upon Sandoz's failure to follow BPCIA. Here, the court determined that Sandoz's failure to follow certain provisions of the BPCIA were not unlawful and that Amgen's proper remedy was filing a patent infringement suit as permitted under 271E. Specifically, it is an artificial act of infringement under 271E to not follow the information sharing rules of 261L. So, you know, kind of taking a big picture view of things, The Federal Circuit's decision on the information sharing aspects of the BPCIA is likely a win for biosimilars because it provides more business options and biosimilar applicants can determine under what procedure it's better for them to potentially share that information, whether it's under the sharing provisions or whether they feel that it's a more controlled process if it goes to court. I.e., they don't have to share their proprietary manufacturing information at the outset. However, the flip side of the coin, the Federal Circuit's ruling that the commercial marketing provision isn't effective until after FDA licensure is clearly a win for the reference product sponsor, the RPS. In effect, it could potentially extend the monopoly time of the RPS by up to 180 days. In this particular case, the court stressed that technically there was nothing preventing Sandoz from seeking out FDA approval earlier, but big picture, it still essentially provides the reference product sponsor with 12 to 12 and a half years of exclusivity, even though the original act only contemplates 12 years exclusivity for the RPS. It's also possible in this case that everyone wins in terms of the state law claims by the Federal Circuit foreclosing the state law claims of conversion and unfair competition. The BPCIA is complicated enough without the minor infractions of the BPCIA serving as additional grounds for litigation. The court's decision on that part, at least for now, appears to close a few doors and provide a little bit more clarity. However, going back to the 180 days notice provision real quick, it remains to be seen whether Sandoz appeals the case to the Supreme Court. Obviously, it'll still remain to be seen whether the Supreme Court grants cert, whether the dispute is still ripe, given the timing requirements here. But it is interesting, if you look at Judge Chen's dissent in part, clearly he disagrees, at least regarding the 180-day term. He feels that the law contemplates an earlier approval and that the appropriate remedy, just as the case with the information sharing, is that the reference product sponsor can just bring a DJ action. Big picture, Amgen certainly had notice of what Sandoz was doing. They had notice as early as July 2014 and essentially to force Sandoz to wait potentially until September of 2015, that may not be a sort of comprehensive analysis of the whole BPCIA Act that Judge Chen is advocating. So there's still a lot of uncertainty. Biosimilars win in terms of optionality of information disclosures. They lose in terms of, at least as it currently stands, how the 180-day provision is construed, and at least temporarily, it seems that the state law claims are not going to be viable, so it's just going to be focused on the patent-oriented remedies. And that's all there is for now, but we'll continue to watch these cases to see what happens next in the biosimilars world. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thanks, Morgan. We want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based on advertising. And the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It's not intended to be any kind of legal advice. We'll catch you next time on Cosinelli Podcasts.